anfangen können. Dankeschön. Please sit down. And please, during this press conference, don't use the flash and keep your mobiles out, please. Thank you. Dankeschön. Please be seated. Bitte setzen Sie sich, damit wir anfangen können. Yeah, hello. Yeah, it's time again. Good to have you all here back on the first press conference on the competition on the 68th International Film Festival in Berlin. And it's a great pleasure to have the Isle of Dogs here. Remember, 4 years and 9 days ago, we opened the Berlinale with Hotel Grand Budapest. And it was great fun here. You see all the Potsdamer Platz, people having a smile and in a good mood, and we will continue with this. And we are happy to have a lot of the cast and the talents here in Berlin. And we welcome one of the screenwriters, Jason Schwartzman. Next to him, also screenwriter, longtime companion with Wes. Please have a welcome for Roman Coppola. And now, if you maybe close your eyes and listen to the voices, you can imagine who's the dog. Please have a welcome for the talent king, Bob Balaban.
Balaban.
And who's the boss? Bill Murray is the boss. Also, have a welcome. She's Tracy, and it's good to have her back. Greta Gerwig. And the chief is also with us. Please have a welcome. No, it's Bryan Cranston. And as I said, it's good to have him back here in Berlin for the fourth time. Please have a welcome for Wes Anderson. And we have a special announcement for our next talent. He came here by plane to rescue the bear. I hope so. And it's his birthday today. Please have a welcome and have a song for him. This is Koyu Rankin.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Koyu. Happy birthday.
I hope you're not jealous, Liev. Please have a welcome for Spots, Liev Schreiber. Not only a great actor, also a good singer, as you heard. Please have a welcome for Jeff Goldblum. He's the Duke. Next to me, great pleasure to have him here also, screenwriter, but also the voice for Major Kobayashi. Have a welcome for Konishi Nomura. But that's not all. They were staged, but we have here some special guests. The Oracle is with us. Please have a welcome for Tilda Swinton. And also have a welcome for Mr. Akira Takayama, Major Domo. The news anchor, Yujiro Noda. Auntie, and wonderful, look how she's dressed, Mari Natsuki. And the producer, please have a welcome for Stephen Rails. And also producer, have a welcome for Jeremy Dawson. So please recall all the names, or we can start, please. Wes, after 4 years, it's good to have you here.
Thank you.
Beginning this, talking about this movie, this will open this festival. Please tell us how you and Roman and Jason get together and invented the story.
Yes. Well, you know, I often think at the beginning of our, there's a quote, I think it was Tom Stoppard. I read an interview with Tom Stoppard, or maybe it was an interview with Mike Nichols quoting Tom Stoppard, something like this. But it was Tom Stoppard saying that when he starts a play, he starts it not when he has an idea for a play, but when he has two different ideas that he mixes together. They crash into each other, and then he's got something to work with. I hope that I'm not misquoting him or misrepresenting his views, but that's what I feel like I tend to do. And Jason and Roman and I, we started this project with an idea to do a story. I mean, doesn't sound like a great pitch, probably, but to do a movie about some dogs abandoned on a garbage dump, a pack of dogs who live on garbage. But we had also been talking for some years about wanting to do something in Japan or about Japan, something related to our shared love of Japanese cinema, especially Kurosawa. And so in a way, the story could have taken place anywhere, but the thing that made it come to life for us was when we decided this should be in a sort of fantasy version of Japan. Is that right? Do I say that right?
That sounds
yeah,
right.
That's about right.
That sounds
yeah.
Great.
That's okay. Yeah. But you're invited to add something if you like.
Jason.
No, Wes said it perfectly. He said it perfectly.
Next.
Okay. There's a question, please. Who has the microphone? Please stand up and...
Okay. For me?
Yeah, you've got the microphone.
Okay. Hi, Wes.
Hi.
Congratulations, everyone. I first want to give a shout out to Greta Gerwig for making Oscar history as the only the fifth woman nominated as Best Director. Best screenplay, best picture. Wes, how did you assemble such a great group for the voices? And for Bill Murray, who's been in many of your films, how was it to be just a voice, Bill?
We don't think of it that way, but we appreciate the question. Most of the actors here are people who I either have worked with before or have loved for years, I feel like this group of people and others is the first list we made. Jason and Roman and I and Kun too, when Kun joined us on the project, of who we would like to have in the movie, and. One thing about an animated movie is you can't really say not available, you know? And so we say, well, we can do it any time, any time at all. We can do it at your house. We can do it at any hour of the day. And there's just no excuse. And so that helped. And Bill, you take over the next part?
Well, that was my part of it, the not available thing. I did not have that option. And as far as being just a voice, I'm all cranked up on chocolate and a little bit of champagne right now. I'm going to say that being a voice with this group is a little bit like being in the We Are the World video. I think these are some of the great voices of cinema, and I'm very happy to be singing even if I just get one verse.
There's a question in the middle in the back, please. Yes.
Hello.
Hello.
What are the biggest challenges when working on animation movie?
Thank yes. You. Well, I think in a way, most of the challenges are sort of fun challenges. When you have a problem, I mean, there are odd things sometimes that happen in animation. I mean, the big challenge is, can we make a good story? Can we make a good script? Can we make it sort of where we feel like it works? Once you have that with animation, there are peculiar problems that you don't have in other forms, like for instance, it turns out this puppet doesn't really smile. That could be like 2.5 years into the process. Suddenly you're faced with that, and there are many little things like that that come along the way. Are big. I mean, not smiling could be a big deal if it's important to the scene. But then there's always a way around it. There's always some solution. You have no choice. You figure out a way, and sometimes it means that I don't know if Andy Gent and Mark Waring are here. The director of animation, and Andy Gent is the person who made all the puppets, and he's in charge of the whole puppets department. Sometimes Mark will look for a solution. Sometimes Andy. We'll go to Andy and say, we've got to take us, and he'll create something new. We'll modify the puppet or add something to the puppet. The solutions will come that way. I'm sorry, that was a very, very long answer to a simple question. Please carry on.
Next question here in the middle, please.
Yes. Hi, this is Ellie Mastor from Belgium. Hi, hello. And congratulations to all of you.
Thank you.
Wes, I have a question for you. So all of your films have often been about finding your family. Either it's related by blood or not related by blood or not even of your own species in the case of this movie. But I feel, would you say this is your most overtly political film? I mean, in The Grand Budapest, there was this undertone of Europe in the 30s. But that was not central to the movie. But in this one, I feel like you're going over like the family and make it about a community. So there was a very strong political aspect to this one.
Thank yes. You. Well, you know, that's interesting. You know, with this one, we actually, early in the process, we said we need to invent the politics of this city. There's something we knew that we had a mayor and we wanted to we knew there was something happening politically and it's sort of you know it's where the story came from. It's what happens in the movie. It's all it's our fantasy of the politics of this made up place in Japan. But then because we've been working on this movie a long time, the world began to change in the movie, and we often said, that seems kind of right for the moment. Maybe there were tiny places along the way where we were getting new inspirations from real life that were finding their way into the movie. But at the same time, I would say, it was a story that we sort of felt could happen anywhere, and it could happen at any time. In fact, this way, I'll try not to be confusing with it, but our original version of the movie was... am I going to be confusing if I explain the original time? It was.
Go ahead and try to confuse us. See if you can do it.
Okay. The original voiceover at the beginning of the movie began with the words, it was a futuristic setting, but the voiceover says the year is 2007 as the future. And the idea was that the movie had been made in the early 60s. And you can see why we decided not to do it that way. But does that make sense, kind of, as a concept?
Very clear, yeah, I mean, very, very clear. Yeah. Thank you, very clear.
Yes, a question in the back, please.
Oh, hi, two questions, please. Wes, wonderful movie. Could you please tell a few words about your relation with Japanese animation, especially Miyazaki? And a question for Bryan Cranston, please. I want to understand the importance of silence for the way you act. The importance of silence for you.
Silence.
Silence.
You go first. Good. That was good. I see you're writing it down, too. That's good. Japanese animation, I really got interested in Japanese animation in the time before I did an earlier animated movie, Fantastic Mr. Fox, and I it wasn't like I was a huge animation guy, but in a way, that movie, it's the greatest inspirations for it came out of Roald Dahl, and then it was animated Japanese movies, and this one, there are two directors who are our inspirations. There are Kurosawa and Miyazaki. We even have Mari Natsuki, who is in Spirited Away, who have been twice, and she did a wonderful voice for us in our movie. It's the detail and also the silences, I think. I mean, Miyazaki, you get nature and you get moments of peace, a kind of rhythm that is not in the American, for instance, animation tradition so much. And that inspired us quite a lot. I mean, I feel like our movie, there were times when I worked with Alexandre Desplat on the score and Kaoru Watanabe. I think Kaoru is Kaoru here? Kaoru did all the taiko drumming for our film. And we found many places where we really had to pull back from what we were doing musically because the movie sort of wanted to be quiet. And I think that's where it comes from Miyazaki.
Well, I would like to give a question to Koyu. Please tell us and the Berlin press a bit about your experience with this bunch of dogs and this world, strange world of Wes.
Well, I haven't actually seen the movie yet, but well, I've seen Grand Budapest Hotel and Fantastic Mr. Fox. They're both really great movies.
Thank you.
I think this movie is going to be, I don't know, better, I guess. But... Yeah.
Yes. You know, the interesting thing with Koyu, too, is when I cast Koyu, I didn't quite grasp how young he... I mean, Koyu is turning 11 today. The character in the movie is 12. We recorded the movie 2 years ago. That's some of the youngest cast. He played old. But I will say that we were very... I mean, when you do a movie like this, the work that happens with the actors happens briskly. And it's... It happens early in the process, and then so much of what so many people do over the time period after is inspired by what we hear. You know, it's not just the animation of the performances; it's the creation of the puppets, and it's everybody's hearing these voices. And Koyu's voice was really a wonderful, wonderful voice. He doesn't. I don't even understand most of the stuff he says. I don't speak Japanese, but there's a wonderful quality to his voice, and it really inspired us for making this character, this puppet. Okay. I mean, sorry, I didn't mean to answer your question, but
it's okay.
Question, yeah, please.
Hallo, Jos Schück von ZDF Aspekt.
Hello, Jos Schück with German Public Television.
Welcome to the so-called City of Dogs. That is true. If you live here, you will get to know.
More dog shit, huh?
Sorry, say again?
More dog shit, huh?
More dog shit. The city of dog shit. Oh. assuming that cinema has always been a mirror to our time, why did you choose a fable and dogs to build up this mirror this time? Why did it have to be dogs?
Why did it have to be dogs? Well, I mean, I almost want to back up to the phrasing of the question makes it... makes me not sure. We didn't start with the mirror, I think. We started with the dogs. So it was sort of more like, how do we take this dog story that we already want to tell and find where it's going to lead us? Where is it going to take us? What do the dogs want to do? I kind of feel like when you're working on a script, or for me, I don't know. I mean, there a lot of people up here have written a lot of scripts, but for my experience, you're sort of you don't necessarily have the whole thing in mind. You're kind of gathering things and you know, searching for what is the movie going to be. The mirror kind of comes as it's all assembled together. It's not. I mean, I would not say that's my greatest description of the storytelling process, but you know, whatever.
There's a question on the other side, please.
Hello there, Sascha Scheuer for German Radio. First of all, Mr. Nomura, I'm a huge Jackass fan, so thank you for the T-shirt. And my question is to Bryan Cranston and Bob Balaban. You've both been on a TV show called Seinfeld. So my question, what was crazier, that or this?
Oh, sorry.
Sorry.
Totally missed the question. Sorry.
Oh, okay. You've both been on a TV show called Seinfeld, and now you did this. What was crazier?
There were no dogs on Seinfeld that I remember.
We didn't play dogs on that.
No, but I was kept in a cage during Seinfeld, so that's the only similarity. Just great storytelling. It was, you know, it's just wonderful, different, odd storytelling. And I think that's the thing that most actors are attracted to, is to go where the great stories are being told. And to be able to do something with Wes was an easy decision for me.
Same here. Well, I think all of us, and some of you guys have, played leads in things for you, Wes, and then come in and swept the carpet a little bit, you know, for their next part. It was great fun being on Seinfeld because it was such an icon thing to be a part of. I mean, it wasn't when I did a few episodes in my first one. I'd never seen it, and nobody knew what it was. And then the next year, it changed to Thursday night at 9 o'clock, and suddenly it was like the world's most popular television show.
Oh, wow.
And sort of being in your elite company, or special or wonderful, it really feels great to be in your club. So, thank you.
Thank you. Hey, did Seinfeld, was that made in New York?
No, I love Seinfeld, so please don't. It was the worst portrayal of New York I've ever seen in anything.
In terms of
I played the head of a television network, and I lived in like a Motel 6. but it wasn't in New York. No.
Shot in Los Angeles.
Shot in Los Angeles. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Question on the right. Yep.
Yeah. Mark Harapetian, founder and publisher of the film magazine Spirit, A Smile and a Storm. A question to Mr. Anderson. Congratulations again for this fantastic film. I'm a great dog lover. Do you have other dog favorite movies in the history of film? I remember the Japanese film about Taro and Jiro in the Antarctic, really a masterpiece from 1983. I love it. Also the soundtrack by Vangelis. And a question to all. Do you have a dog at home, and what kind of dog? I have a Siberian wolf dog husky mixture called Felix.
Siberian wolf dog is one of those very, very, very big ones. Is that right? The wolfhounds are giant, right? Massive and beautiful. Yeah. Favorite dog movies. There are two movies in particular that I think of right off the bat, and maybe Roman and Jason also will remember ones we talked about. But there's a movie called The Plague Dogs. I'm almost reluctant to mention it because it's a very, very bleak movie. And ours is, I think, more cheerful kind of story. Not that cheerful, but it's much more cheerful than that one. But it's the same director as Watership Down, writer and director. Adams. Anyway, Plague Dogs was one. In fact, Noah is the one who told me about Plague Dogs. Noah Baumbach remembered it from childhood, and we used to talk about it from time to time. And Noah did bring up Plague Dogs when he saw this, when he saw our animatic, our early version of the movie that's just made with storyboards. You know, I was also showing. I have a little daughter, and I always try not to have her looking at screens and things, but she's spent her entire life so far. This movie has been going on longer than she has so far, and she has seen me sitting at this computer for 16 hours a day for the last 2 years that she's been alive, and she knows every detail of this movie perfectly. She knows this movie better than anybody. We watched a bit of 101 Dalmatians, which is quite a great one. I like it a lot. That's one of my favorite of the Disney ones, I think. Other people's dogs or dog movies? I mean, Jason has a dog.
Yeah, I have a French bulldog. He's 14 and a half years old, which is old for a French bulldog. His name's Arrow, Joel Schwartzman, and I love him very much. He's at my mom's house right now. Thank you, Mom, for taking care of him. Roman.
I'm part of the Kobayashi clan. I have a cat, so I know that's a little bit bad to say.
I have a grand dog at home. It's my daughter's boyfriend's dog, actually, and we guard him, and his name is Elliot with one L and one T, like, because he's named after T.S. Eliot.
Oh, T.S. Eliot.
And he's a genius.
And what is his breed?
He's a dachshund, a long-haired miniature dachshund, a beautiful dog.
I have a half Cairn Terrier, half Jack Russell, who survived an attack by coyotes, and his name is Timmy Murray.
Wow! Attacked by coyotes. Did you witness, or what was the?
I stood by and did nothing.
Oh, yeah. Typical.
I have no dog, but I would like a dog. I stop and pet all the dogs in New York where I live. And 2018 is my year of the dog.
Oh, year of the dog. It is the year of the dog.
Yes, yeah. I'm going to get one.
I always have mutts. I always rescue dogs. I love dogs. Currently, our last one just passed away just recently. So, mournful. But we'll adopt soon again. Maybe an Irish setter named Bill Murray.
Well, actually, the question makes me think of... The dog that Brian plays, called Chief, that was the name of our dog. We had a Labrador Retriever, a black lab that belonged to my older brother, and he was called Chief. But it was actually our family friends had lots of dogs, and one of their dogs was called Chief, so we just stole it straight from them, which when you think about it, you're not really meant to just steal the other people's dog name, but they were sort of more interesting family, and so we used this, so we thought that was a good way to do it. So that's the, anyway, for me, right now I don't have a dog. We do have a pygmy goat.
Yes.
I
saw the pygmy goat.
Yes.
Yeah.
Koyu?
I don't have a dog right now, but I would really like one.
What kind do you want?
I guess a Shiba. They're really nice dogs.
Can we arrange that? I'm looking at Koyu's parents. I mean, you're not obligated.
I've been raising a pack of coyotes since 1998. I have two mutts. We have two mutts, Woodrow and Willow, and their terrier mixes from Hurricane Harvey.
Wow, that's good.
We have a standard poodle, red-haired standard poodle, named Woody. 4 years old. We love Woody very much. Loves the kids. We've got two kids. Loves the kids. He broke his leg a couple of months ago. He was at the groomers. And he was on the table, and they tie you down to the table, and a chihuahua came by. Why? There was a chihuahua there. And he jumped off the table, and the table fell on top of him. And they broke his leg. Yeah, he's been recovering for a couple of months. Anyway, he's fine. He's just kind of all 100% now. In any case, Woody.
Like limping or walking normally?
No, he's 100%. He's very 100%. Good. Very athletic, very not only smart, but sprints like crazy, yeah.
Wow.
Very Woody.
Will he be able to play football again, or no?
Why would you ask that? No, he never played football. Why would you think he played football? No, he never played football.
We had 5 chihuahuas in a little house on the wood flooring, so it makes crazy noise, you know, like slipping. but the last one died last year. He was 21 years old. So as a human,
wow,
like 120. So he was blind and he couldn't hear. So once I took him out from the cage, he was, it's hard to say, but like a pinball. Because he walk and hit the wall, then he make turn. But he still wanna walk. So now it's all gone, and I feel so sad to lose a dog that I'm not gonna have for a while.
So was that your parents' dog at first?
Or no, my wife's dog.
Your wife's dog.
So she didn't tell me in the first place, like, so when we got married, it's like, here, I have five chihuahua.
Yeah.
It's a wedding present.
Yeah. Wow. It's the kind of thing you want to check.
You know, we've worked on this movie together for a number of years. That is the first time I've heard you say the word chihuahua ever. I don't know how we missed that. Yeah.
So unusual.
Okay, in the middle, please. Next question.
I still have a very serious question to Wes Anderson, Mr. Sondland from Deutsche Welle. Now, I found out it's for the second time after Grand Budapest Hotel that you used models in your film. I think you worked with some Berlin model makers, and all the other directors use digital effects. Why do you still use these old handicraft skills?
Yes. Well, you know, when you're doing, I mean, stop motion is a very, he's asking about using models rather than more sophisticated, modern digital techniques. And with a stop motion movie, there's a certain part of it that's going to be models. I mean, it's an old-fashioned technique in the first place. If you're going to do it that way, you're embracing old methods. But we push that as far as we can push it. We try to do everything we can in the camera, and I don't think there is anything in the whole movie that is actually what you would really call CG. There are things that are combined in the digital process, but there are elements that we've really shot. Everything's a miniature. Would you say that, Jeremy? I'm asking Jeremy Dawson. Big and little miniatures. Sometimes we build something that needs to be so big that if we built it in scale to the puppets, it would just be like the size of this room, and you find ways that how are we going to stay within our limited, within the limits of our resources and still do it. But on the other hand, for a movie like Grand Budapest Hotel, or we did some on the movie before that called Moonrise Kingdom, the real answer is I love models, and when I just respond, there's kind of charm in, I mean, it's a funny thing because usually I want to do the model in the first place. We work hard on the model. I know it's a model. I'm doing it because it's a model. But then when it's in the movie, I am always trying to convince people it's not a model and see if I get some, and everybody knows instantly. You can tell instantly when it's a model. You're not fooling anybody. But it's something that I associate with sort of cinema history. And I love seeing a model pop up on the screen in a Hitchcock movie or Carol Reed it's part of the tradition of movies I love.
Okay, your question in the back.
Yes. It has already been said, it's not your first time here at the Berlinale. It's a question for Wes, Bill, and if I may, Tilder. So how often have you been here? Could you please count who's the one who has been here the most time?
How many, Tilda? How many Berlinales? You have a long history at Berlinale. First film festival she ever came to?
The first film I ever made with Derek Jarman, 1985, all the another century. And I feel like I've been here in almost every capacity except cleaner. That's next year. Yeah.
For me, when we did The Royal Tenenbaums, Owen Wilson and I came here together. And then when we did The Life Aquatic, we were here together, and then we had a Grand Budapest Hotel with lots of people here. We were here together, And so this is the fourth one, if I count it properly, which I think that's right.
I've been here before a few times, but this is the big one. This is the one that really counts. The others, nothing. This is very, very big. This is huge. It's going to be enormous.
Your question in the middle, please. Oh, okay. Let's do this question before the microphone.
Thank you very much. Lina Simon, ZDF Dreisat. Mr. Anderson, when making the movie, in how far did you also have the Japanese audience in your mind? And will the film still work in the Japanese synchronization when humans and dogs suddenly speak the same language?
It's a good question, because it's quite complicated, because a significant part of the movie is spent translating. You know, the Japanese actors who speak Japanese, they will stay Japanese in every country. The English-speaking cast, most of them are revoiced in France and Italy. They're different actors who portray them in different countries. For me, at some point, I mean, I always knew we were making our own concoction. And, you know, the three of us are not Japanese, but we had Kunichi, who joined us early on in the process, and Kun was not just helping us with the story and with translating and sort of helping us find things that could be a part of the movie. And I want to say that we wanted a sort of authenticity of our own. We wanted something that came from Japan, but at the same time, it's more of a souffle, I guess. It's not really, I don't know what to be authentic to, but we wanted to get certain things right about Japan, which Kun helped us do. But I would say, but when it is shown in Japan, at one point they were thinking that it would be only a subtitled version, but then I think they have figured out a way to deal with all the translation issues. So the Japanese version will be all Japanese, really. But I'm interested to see how they manage that. It's not, you know, it's sort of the distributor in Japan is in charge of that. Is that answering the question? Probably too thoroughly.
But maybe Kun, you can add something to this, also in working on the screen, on the script, on the story, and also helping Wes, and also that you at first weren't intended to have your voice on the movie.
Every time Wes sent me email, it's very short and asking a simple question, but there's more in behind. So when he emailed me, like, I'm making a movie about Japan, with your help. But help means a lot. I was so scared, and I never thought I would get involved like this much, you know, but he really trusted me, so I wanted to kind of pay back about his trust. So, you know, casting, I try to make the cast from Japan something he did in the States. Like, he always worked with the same group of people, kind of, and they're all good friends. So I wanted to find those casts in Japan, which I think I did pretty well. Like, all the actor or musician, you know, they know each other. If we go out, we can. And I think Japanese people would like the movie, you know, because the set and the story based in Japan, but the core of the story is something universal. Like, I help Sophia's Lost in Translation. People are kind of worried about how people, Japanese people, would react to the story, because, like, Bill having a problem with the Japanese media, or, like, you know, like, the translation become really short, and American was really anxious. But I think, you know, that's how we feel when I go to New York. I was just laughing all Americans speak so fast, and every food is too big. You know, why you have to drink so much of a Coca-Cola, you know? So it just give you, in the end, like, your experience being alone in some other country and feel like being adopted, you know? Yeah. So Japanese really liked it in the end. And I think this movie would do the same. And I appreciate the graphic and landscape is original by Wes, but it's, that would be really touching to Japanese people, I think.
Good.
Is it?
Thank
is it
you.
Okay?
So, last two questions, please.
My name is Bahari Sagi, African Refugee News. Mr. West, this is the first time I got to the Berlinale to see an animation film, and 2 minutes everybody bursted laughing, only to read the subtitles. So, congratulations for that.
Good.
But my question goes to Jeff. You have been doing a long, long career. How was it for you today to play this part? Because it's, you know, we are used all, always with young men, old men. But you, in this film, your voice is really something very, very important.
Thank you so much. It was great. First of all, I haven't seen the movie like you, so I can't wait to see it tonight. What was it like to to work with Wes and this cast in a movie like this is very lucky. So I'm grateful. That's my story. It's very, very special and very lucky. But it's not nice. I've done a couple of things before where I've just been a voice. I like doing it because oftentimes when I show up and I have to do it live, the director, after a long period of shooting, can get disappointed because they find out I don't smile. I can't smile. whereas with voice, I have a not a big range, but and they're all kind of in the pastel colors. But at least I can disguise my limitations. I'm only trying to make a joke. I'm lucky to be in it.
I like the pastel colors of Jeff Goldblum.
Really?
It's the title of something.
Sweet. Well, that's the name of my production company, Pastel Colors Pictures. Did you know that?
Pastel Colors Pictures. Good. Yeah. Good.
Another very funny joke. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I guess it's time for all of you to see The Isle of Dogs because we are really happy that we have it here to open the Berlin Film Festival, the 68th. Have a good show tonight. Have
Thank
a good
you
red
so much.
Black
Thank
carpet.
You, everyone.
Thank you. We have. Great to have you here, all of you. Wonderful.